You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. This is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're talking to young men, Gen Z men, about how you can grow and mature in your faith. And we are right in the middle of a series on worry. There's a lot of stuff that you could be worried about, right? And we want to help you, young men, because worry, in a sense, is natural, but in another sense, it's not natural if it becomes sinful. And so we were trying to talk in depth here, really, in a series about what worry is, about what worry is not, and then how we can keep it at bay, or better yet, persevere and triumph through our worries and struggles by bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been talking about, number one, what is the definition of worry? And I started off talking about what worry is not. It's not appropriate concern. It's not the desire to attend to the business of others. And it's not right planning. But you know what worry is? Worry is over-anxious concern about the future. And worry is that which would distract you from placing your full attention on Christ. And worry can be enslaving to the believer when you let it dominate. And then we started last time about the explanation of worry, and I gave you seven ways to kind of think through when worry can become a sin. Because a little bit of anxiety would be, if it's appropriate, concern about others is not sinful. But then there's sinful anxiety, which is probably what most of us are struggling with most of the time. And sometimes there's a fine line between, well, how do you know if I'm just having appropriate concern, or how do you know if I have apprehension to the point of sinful worry? And I gave you seven things to think through last time. When your thoughts are focused on changing the future, when your thoughts are not focused on Christ, when it controls you instead of you controlling it, when it causes you to neglect other responsibilities and relationships, when it damages your body, when you lose hope instead of finding answers, and when you stop functioning as a Christian. Those are all concerns that might be sinful if worry has gone that far, and then it's clearly a sin. And so let me ask now in this show today about why worry is even wrong in the first place. I mean, if it feels somewhat natural to us in our response to trials, why is the Bible regularly and consistently talk about why worry is wrong? So let me give you three answers to that question, why worry is wrong. Number one, it's wrong because it's unproductive. Worry is wrong because it's unproductive. I'm going to take you back to Matthew chapter 6 when we talked about how we shouldn't worry about tomorrow, about food or clothing or what we shall eat or what we shall drink. Well, the very next verse, Matthew 6, 27 through verse 30 says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And so basically this passage is saying, man, when you worry, you're accomplishing nothing. You're being stressed out. You're not able to function. You can't add a single hour to your life. You're not able to get your work done. You're so worried about it that you are neglecting your duties and accomplishing nothing. We talked about that a little bit last time as well, but we're saying that the reason that worry is wrong is because, number one, it is unproductive. And as we think about it being unproductive, let me just unpack that a little bit more. It accomplishes nothing, but it also is a thief of time. Worry is a thief of time. In this same passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, it says, "Therefore," it says, "so do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So we're learning here in this text that you have enough to worry about today. And if you're worried about tomorrow, then you don't have enough time and attention to address what you can address today. And so in that way, worry is a thief of time. It's kind of robbing against tomorrow. You got to deal with tomorrow, but God's given you enough grace to deal with today. Okay, so we're unpacking nuances of it being unproductive. It accomplishes nothing. It's the thief of time, and it also controls your mind. Talked a lot about you got to set your mind on things above where Christ is and not on things below. Another thing to consider here with it being unproductive is that your thoughts are unproductive. So not only are you getting nothing done, but your mind is spinning. It can even blur your vision. It can blur your vision. I mean, consider again in Matthew 6, verses 22 through 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know what this is saying, young man? Don't let things cloud your vision of God. Don't let the cares of this world block the light. The light is shining forth from general creation in a general way, and through special revelation in a special way, through the scripture. And if your eye is bad, if you're not looking at and receiving truth from God, then your body's going to be full of darkness, and that light in you would now be considered darkness. And the scripture's warning us, don't be like that, right? This is how worry is unproductive. Worry wastes your energy. That's what it does. People spend a lot of time thinking about trying to prepare for worst case scenario, not against that within some reason, but if they go overboard, you're wasting a lot of time and a lot of energy. You could also say that it's unproductive, worry is, because it damages your body. We talked about that last time with your ulcers or arteriosclerosis, a hardening of the arterial wall of the heart, coronary arteries could lead to stress and a heart attack. A worrier usually stops functioning in many areas of their life. Worry is actually laziness. I tried to prove that with the sluggard. You could also look at the parable of the talents. You remember in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, you had the parable of the talents where one was given five talents and he invested it and got five more. And one had two talents and he invested that and got two more. And then this last dude had one talent and he buried it in the ground. And so when the owner came back, he praised the guy with five who got five more, and he praised the guy with two who got two more. But then with the guy who had one, the reason that he buried it is he was worried that he might lose it. And so he didn't put it into the bank to gain interest, and he didn't invest it in a healthy business situation. And so he's really reprimanded for not being active with what God had given him. And so that's what we're looking at. So we're saying that worry is wrong because it's unproductive. Number two, worry is wrong because it's unnecessary. Well, why is worry unnecessary, you ask? Well, you got to remember, God is able and trustworthy. He is completely able and trustworthy to deal with whatever he wants to deal with and however he wants to deal with it, right? I mean, God is able to provide all that we need. Again, Matthew 25, 28 discusses how God is fully able to take care of everything that's needed. Why are you anxious about your clothing? And consider the lilies of the field then and how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, God takes better care of you than you can care for yourself. And so God is totally trustworthy. Let God take concern. Like you don't take concern because God is going to take the appropriate concern. Matthew 10, 29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and are not one of them, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Bottom line, God's concerned about your welfare. God's concerned about your well-being. God's concerned about creation. He's certainly concerned about you, the pinnacle of creation, because you're created in his image. Bottom line, worry is unbelief. It is simply not believing what God says. It's not believing that God is God. It's not believing that God will work in and through all things together for his good and for your good as well. And so worry is unproductive. Worry is unnecessary, and worry is unbecoming. It doesn't really describe a believer. Worry is what unbelievers are all about, right? Unbelievers, we expect to worry. They're so nervous about what may happen, and they're always worried about the worst case scenario. And when you worry, you're acting like unbelievers because you're not showing faith in God. You're not showing trust in God. When you're really worried about something, you're acting like a non-believer. And so worry is unbecoming because it makes you look like an unbeliever, and it also focuses on what one does not have. That's what worry does. It focuses on what one does not have and what your future might be without if you don't get it. And so it focuses on what one does not have. It also focuses on earthly values, not eternal. Typically, worry is not worried about spiritual things so much as it's worried about physical things, things that have earthly value. And so you got to consider that you're not given to worry that's only worried about the here and now. It's only worried about the physical things. You got to be thinking that God's going to take care of me and he's going to oversee and everything that I need is for him. And so, you know, Matthew 10:25 says here, it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant to be like his master. If they call the master of the house of Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So again, if they're going to criticize and critique Jesus, then they're going to criticize and critique you. If they criticize and critique the teacher, they're going to criticize and critique the follower. And what we're saying here is that let God take care of all of this. Don't worry. Don't give in to it. Trust in God. And he's the master of the house, and he's going to take care of you. And really, a worry, again, it's unbelief, and worry could even be seen as idolatry. Okay, so don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to keep talking about what worry is, what it's not, and how to deal with it.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. If you're paralyzed and struggling with worst-case scenarios, that's what Dr. Tyson's talking about today. And that's what happens to many of the modern young men today, because that's what the world tells them. Worry about what might happen. Spend all your time thinking about that. Don't risk failing anything. No, you don't want to be called a failure. This generation has been spoon-fed a diet of tragic thinking. Economic collapse, climate change, social media algorithms, all designed to trigger anxiety about everything from your career to your relationship. And so young men are so busy worried about theoretical futures that they're missing out on actual opportunities that sit right in front of them. And that's what Dr. Tyson continues to talk about today and what he addresses every day at the Masters University, where he's a professor. The Masters University addresses this by teaching young men to act faithfully, despite uncertain outcomes. TMU is teaching students that God's sovereignty makes living a confident life in Him possible. And so if you're college aged or you have someone in your home that's a high school senior looking to go to college, or maybe you're thinking about going back to school yourself, I want to point you in the direction of the Masters University. Go to masters.edu/manhood right now to get the conversation started. And one more thing that I would be so grateful for you doing is go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And why that's important, why I'm mentioning that, is because it is our gospel partners who make what we do at Fortis Institute possible. We are producing so much content every day. I mean, there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of audio and video content available to you right now, free of charge at fortisplus.org. That's the place where we distribute all of the content we're creating. And all of that content is available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding to it daily. And it's free because of our gospel partners. And so if you have a margin where you might be able to join us as a gospel partner, if you're giving to your local church, then we would love it if you would start to pray about what that would look like in your life to do so. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now to get all of the answers to all of your questions. Now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, as we are in a series on worry, what it is, what it's not, and how to deal with it. And I was just kind of ending there, talking about that you don't need to worry. If you're a disciple of Christ, Christ will take care of your issues. And they were saying in that last verse I read right before the break, Matthew 10:25, if they had a master of the house of Beelzebul, then if they, talk bad about that master, they'll talk bad about you. So there's a comparison here. Bad people will get talked about by their bad things. Good people will be able to hopefully process through good things. What I'm simply trying to say is that you need to focus on Christ. You need to focus on loving him. You need to focus on who he is and what he gives to us. And what he gives to us is hope. And so what we don't want to do is we don't want to have worry make us look like unbelievers where we have no hope, where we are now struggling with idolatry. Again, that same passage, Matthew 10, 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. And so when you worry, you're taking matters into your own hands. And in that way, you've placed yourself above the teacher. And that simply cannot happen because you're trusting in God to work in and through your situation. And so now that we've looked at a definition of worry, and now we've given further explanation to worry, let's finally get to the last part here of an examination of worry in your life. An examination of worry in your life. Is there anything that you are presently anxious about? Let's just kind of do a test right here today as you listen. Is there anything, as you've considered all these different talks about worry and anxiety, is there anything right now that you are presently anxious about? Recall the last five times that you were worried. Evaluate the situation that was involved, okay? So just think about it. What's the last five times you were worried about? Was it about a ball game, a girl, a health situation, how you're going to get through a certain class, you know, if your friends like you or not, if you've done enough good to be saved, you know? What are the last five things you worried about? And you should evaluate that situation that was involved in your worry, okay? And then what were you thinking in each one of those situations? You should start to do some diagnosis here. What were you thinking in those situations? Were you thinking on Christ? Were you thinking on Scripture? We could ask, how did you respond to your anxieties? What did you do or what did you not do? You know, you could add injury to insult. If you went out and got drunk, that's not helping with your worries. If you went out and got high, that's not helping with your worries, right? So think about, what did you do when you were struggling? And then we could even ask, what were the results of being sinfully anxious if you were? You know, what were the results of if you did pursue some type of sinful solace, some type of sinful comfort? How did that end up? You know, what fruit did you get from that? Another thing that we can ask would be, how were you not trusting God in that episode of worry? What was going on there? How were you not trusting God? What have you done about those things and those situations and those anxieties since you were stuck into all of that? You know, what have you done about that? Have you done anything to help you grow so that you don't follow back into that? I mean, what kinds of things, we could ask, typically contribute to your anxiety? You know, you kind of should know at this point the kinds of things that you're going to be tempted to worry about, and that I would encourage you to shore up in those very areas, scriptures and truths from God's word that will help you think rightly in that very moment so that you don't follow into the same anxiety over and over and over again. What kind of sins do you tend to commit due to anxiety? You know, do you lie? Are you failing to do what God wants you to do? Are you being irresponsible? Do you choose not to think of others, which is selfishness? Do you choose not to love others? Do you get bitter at God? I mean, what kind of sins do you tend to commit that kind of go along with your anxiety? Do you need to keep track of when and why you become anxious over the next few weeks? Maybe that's a good thing that you could do, is just kind of keep track. And so that you're keeping an eye on what's happening and how do I work on it? And are you sure that you are in good standing with God because you are in Christ? Are you confident that you are God's child? On what do you base your confidence? Maybe you should even ask yourself, do you have any unconfessed sin in your life? If you're really worried about something, it could be that you're just feeling guilty and you haven't confessed your sin yet. And so you're really struggling with that kind of ongoing worry. And so let's talk about now how to get rid of worry, right? How do we get rid of this? I mean, we're talking about examining it, what's going on in my life right now, and then how do I get rid of worry? Well, there's some wrong ways to try to get rid of worry, and there's some right ways to try to get rid of worry. Okay, let me give you a few wrong ways to get rid of worry. You could just minimize it. You could just say, well, I'll just trust God. I'll just read the Psalms and I'll be all right. But you're not really dealing with the issue. You're kind of just ignoring it. You're not admitting that it's a significant problem in your life. It's a sin issue. Instead, you're just generally saying, well, nobody could be perfect. So that would be minimizing your worry. And that's not a good way to deal with it. A second way to deal with worry would be by wishful thinking, where you just say, well, it'll go away with time. I mean, over enough time, given enough space, I won't worry with this anymore. And that might happen to a degree, but that's not really dealing with the issue either. You got to hit it head on. So some wrong ways to deal with worry, again, minimizing it or just having wishful thinking that somehow it's going to go away on its own. Or another way that we can have a wrong way of dealing with worry is just handling the problem on our own, just putting our own effort in. You just think, well, I can handle it. I just need to change my responses and change my thinking, and I can do this by myself. I'll just choose not to think about it anymore. And that's a good thing, you know, in one regard, but without Christ, and without scripture, and without prayer, and without accountability, and without good biblical resources, I don't know that this is a thing that you just want to try to handle on your own. I don't think you want to just fall into the, I can handle it and do it on my own. Another wrong way to deal with worry would be to manipulate. I just need to regain control of my circumstances and my future. And so you somehow try to manipulate every situation you're in and every relationship that you're in because you want to be in control. That's not a good way to deal with worry. Or how about activity? You think, well, if I can just increase my activity, keep myself busy, and if I can just talk about it, I'll feel better if I can have a cathartic discussion with my counselor, and I'll just kind of talk about it, and I'll just keep myself busy. Well, unless you're talking to God about it by confessing your sin and learning what scripture really says, then it may not really be helpful. So more activity doesn't necessarily get rid of worry. How about wrong praying? Wrong praying doesn't get rid of worry. You know, you might think, Lord, just take this demon of fear and anxiety away from me. Deliver me right this minute. I mean, that's not really a biblical prayer, right? We definitely want to pray, but I'm saying you can't just pray the wrong way, like God demanding God to just take it away. We got to deal with it in the right way. So let's get to it. You ready? How do we get rid of worry in the right ways? Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. First of all, it's right here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the way to deal with worry, I would say we could start off with just saying you need to have the right kind of prayer life, the right kind of prayer life. You're not just asking for God to take it away. That's a little bit too simplistic. What you're asking is for God to give you perspective. And if you want a passage to go to about how to pray correctly, how to pray in the right way about your worry and your anxiety, you got to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. You're probably surprised I haven't turned to this passage yet, but we're just finally getting to here. How do we deal with sinful worry? And I'm saying you got to pray about it in the right way. Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Again, this is me challenging you to say that anxiety is a sin. There is a way to be appropriately concerned with others, but overall, in the Bible, anxiety on a regular basis is condemned as being sin. I was speaking at a conference somewhere, and somebody came up to me right afterwards and says, anxiety is not a sin. And they were trying to explain, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. And of course, for them, they were saying, and I can't help it. And I was talking to this young man and said, hey, man, I get it. It's okay to have some concern. But the way you're talking about it, it's pretty dominating in your life. And that means it's probably a sin. And so the Bible says, Jesus says not to be anxious. And now we're reading here in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. So there's never an excuse. And then it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So there it is. We want to pray the right way. We want to take our cares to God. We want to take our concerns to God. We want to take our fears, our anxieties, and our worries, and we want to just come confess them before God. I think that's the first step in your prayer. God, I am worried about this, and I know that's a sin. Would you please forgive me? And so I'm bringing my concern to you in prayer. And the next part of Philippians 4, 6 says, with prayer and supplication. So that means you're asking God for help in the midst of it. And then it adds another aspect here to your prayer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so now what we see here is that there is a prayer that is trusting God by confessing your sin, bringing your problem to Him, thanking Him for allowing you to even go through this difficulty so that you can grow to be more like Him. I mean, this is really what we're saying is you're thanking God for the opportunity to trust Him in this moment. Let your requests be made known to God. And it says, let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. There's the key. We're praying about it. We're bringing it to God. We have a thankful heart, not a bitter heart. And now we're trusting that the peace of God, which blows our minds, right? It surpasses all understanding. And that peace that God gives will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, when you come back for the next show, we're going to wrap up this series on worry and anxiety. How do you deal with it? What is it? And how do we fight it? And then how do we replace it with something better, the kind of prayer that really honors God? Let me pray for us as we close today. God, thank you for the opportunity to talk about worry and anxiety. We know it's a real problem that we all struggle with. It's part of being human. And yet we're seeing from the scriptures that it's a sin. And so we just want to confess it to you, oh God, and pray that you would forgive us and that you would help us to learn how to put off sinful worry and replace it with the peace of God that would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.